There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11, 11 listeners.
This is being
engaged.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geeks 50 Days of Dragon Con podcast. The podcast that slowly kills John and throws him under the bus. And then Lee laughs hysterically. Lee,
it is not the podcast that is killing you. I am saying you got this over the internet from your friend JJ and our friend JJ.
Oh, it was the internet.
Somehow you've gotten a virus over the internet.
It wasn't any of those other sites that I visit. It was JJ. That's it.
It was JJ. And I've told you to wrap it before you tap it. But, you know, hey, whatever. This is what happens. This is why you get viruses.
Isn't that what the HDMI port is for? I thought that's what that was for.
I thought that was what the HDMI, but you weren't careful with your HDMI port, were you?
No, I wasn't.
And that's the problem, because if you're not careful with your HDMI port, you know what happens?
You get a case of the DC TVs?
You get a case of the DC TVs, and then they change the channels on you.
Oh.
Don't try to blame any of this on me. I mean, I'm just trying not to introduce a dongle joke at this point.
Oh, we're waiting on that one. Make him laugh so he'll cough a lot. That'll be fun. Because you know what? If you don't keep your HDMI clean, then it's going to get in your USB port. And when it gets into your USB port, then you got to go find a dongle because, hey, you never
know. I like the fact that a lot of people are mad about, you know, online content and, you know, how it's marketed, and they don't realize that the way they hook their Blu-ray player up to their TV is a male-to-male connection. Just saying.
See, if people would listen, you know what? If people would listen to Brian, who is speaking, who runs DC TV, you would all understand this. Brian, I really think you should have a little bit on this, kind of like keeping your HDMI and your USB ports and everything else clean.
I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with Brian. Blu-ray and television marriages should be legal in all states.
They should be, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I got no problem. I mean, I have no problem with Blu-ray. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with, Kardashians marrying Ferengi.
Now, Kardashians are Kardashians.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, because out of the two interspecies marriages, would you want a Kardashian marrying a Ferengi or a Cardassian marrying a Ferengi? Because they'd only put one on American television.
Dacian, not the one that's named a child a direction on a map. No.
If there was a buck in it, they would marry a Ferengi.
Well,
which I guess
I see you started to go with that. I thought that you say if there's a buck in it, they would marry a Kardashian, but if there's a buck in it, they would marry a Ferengi. Yes, I could see that working both ways.
I really don't want the leaked sex umlaut.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So we're what, like a minute into the podcast, and whatever rail you were on, we're already off of it.
Yes,
yeah,
so.
We're gone. We're gone.
I assume it wasn't the monorail at Disney.
No.
No, no.
No, we wouldn't
Disney
be allowed to drive.
Allow us
yeah, we wouldn't be allowed up front anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a small world after. Anyway.
So, Brian, what is your official title, by the way?
Okay. Hi, I'm Brian Richardson. You may have seen me on such television programs as... No, wait, hang on. I'm Brian. I'm the director of videography at DragonCon. That is the official title that I have for DragonCon. Somewhat officially, it seems to be the thing that I do more of than the actual con job, as it were, is I'm the executive producer and co-creator of DragonCon TV, which was started in 2002... Much like everything that happens at Dragon Con by accident, when somebody says, hey, I've got a great idea, and somebody else agreed that it was a good idea and they helped them with it. So two friends of mine, Patrick Freeman and Lucas Leverett, who are both still involved with Dragon Con, came up to me the year that the Masquerade was being hosted by two of the hosts of MST3K and said, we want to do an intro video for these guys. Because we're huge fans. And I'm like, I'm also a huge fan because I've been eating too much lately. I should really go on a diet. But also, this is a great idea. This, by the way, was the first day of the convention. We didn't think of that as like months in advance. These guys like with their Mac under their arm and going, hey, we could do this thing. And so we set it up in the balcony of one of the ballrooms. And for like 3 days when we weren't helping to run the convention, because I was Patrick and I were working on tech staff as the only two video people on tech staff. And Lucas was working in transportation, driving famous people to the airport. And in our copious amounts of spare time, we put together a Star Wars crawl, which in 2002 was actual technology. Now you can do it with JavaScript app off of the Star Wars website. And we put together this little video for them, and they loved it. And Pat Henry, who was running the convention, said, that's great. What are you going to do next year? And then I heard the dramatic music in my head, and I'm like, oh, crap. I've set an expectation.
You didn't run fast enough, huh?
No. I was trapped backstage with Jefferson Starship, of all things. Yeah. So that's an interesting thing to do. So then what we did the next year is we said, okay, we'll do 30 minutes of intro to the masquerade. And so we did like some fake movie posters and, you know, the slides they used to show in front of the movies before Pepsi and Coke took all that over with giant marketing dollars. You know, the bad local real estate ad.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, the horrible insurance company stuff. And we made a bunch of those that were stills, and we made three videos. And the first video we ever made was a little thing called Stormtroopers Gone Wild, which was the first kind of inkling of what we were going to do as DragonCon TV, which was basically the robot chicken with people and no money. and I think we actually started either before or about the same time as Robot Chicken and have sort of co-evolved. Well, evolution, it's not intelligent design, so it has to be evolution. The idea is that we basically started out making fun of the things that the convention is based on. Make fun of Star Wars, Star Trek, comic books, you know, fantasy nerd culture in general by doing fake commercials. What if there was a mashup of the sci-fi fantasy world and the real world? Well, of course, there'd be horrible TV commercials and so the you know, fake products and that kind of stuff comes out of it. So it's like a Saturday Night Live, except occasionally you think we're funny. And then what that turned into is, since DragonCon is its own giant monster of a thing that goes rampaging through Atlanta 1 week every year, we decided that it's almost we kind of started basically making fun of the culture of the convention, the thing that, you know, kind of the way that people interact, and then becoming part of that culture and sort of making fun of ourselves. So we sort of unintentionally woven our way into being, after 11 years, like, kind of an integral part of the way the whole ship runs slash sinks. And I'm both impressed by that and kind of scared by it at the same time, that somehow this like crazy set of people who hang out in my basement a couple weeks a year have somehow become part of the voice of a 52,000 person convention. Notice I'm not cackling mad with power because I'm trying to be responsible with what we do, but some guy in a lab coat behind me is laughing his head off.
Sure.
Now,
always blame it on somebody behind you.
Of course.
Now, those some 11 years ago, is that when it started?
Yes, yeah. 11 years ago. Stormtroopers Gone Wild is now 10 years old.
What is was there actual in a hotel TV then for DragonCon or no?
So it's a funny story. Even before we did the, because DragonCon TV is involved into many things, and they overlap, and there's a lot of confusion on how they work. So DragonCon TV is a name, is used to describe three different things. We have a branding issue because we're not doing this professionally. One is the silly videos we make to run in between the panels and before the masquerade, and now all of the costume contests.
Right.
So that is the, you know, if you go to YouTube and look up DragonCon TV, or you go to DragonConTV.com, we call that a plug in podcasting, then what you find are all the shorts that we make and all the bumpers that we make that kind of ape the Adult Swim style. The second
it's an homage to the Adult Swim style.
It's an homage. We've actually kind of gone our separate ways from their style. We have kind of our own thing we do that is different from theirs.
Yeah.
And they really have their own kind of thing, and they use it differently than we use it.
Of course. I just don't want, you know, anybody to think that it's an homage.
It's an homage. It's not outright theft. We followed up the serial numbers and everything. It's great.
No.
We even use Creative Commons music and actually have people that license their music just for us to use in the bumpers now, which is kind of awesome. It saves me a lot of trouble because I play drums. I got one note. and that's it. So that's not going to get me very far. But the second thing it refers to is the in-house television network. So DragonCon, if you don't already know from listening to this podcast for whatever 117 days you guys do this thing, there are five hotels that DragonCon officially runs in.
Whoa, there's five panels, now? Oh,
five.
No, just kidding.
Oh, don't even stop it.
I thought there's only
stop
one
it.
Still.
No, I'm going to beat you.
Yeah,
I only
you
got like 4 days
later.
Till I see you.
Do that as a video podcast. You can charge more for it.
That's
anyway,
always what I think.
Yeah, here we go. So that is a thing that started when we used to have, at some time it was probably like around 2000, once they realized that they had a couple people who could operate the cameras that were pointed at the stage. The Masquerade still is the big event at DragonCon, and it's held in the Hyatt Centennial Ballroom 1, 2, and 3, meaning that those are three separate rooms, and they're combined into one giant thing that seats about 2,200 people, I think, is the fire code on that. So that's a lot of people. There's 52,000 people that attend DragonCon. Do some basic math, and you're going to realize not everybody gets to see the show. So from a crowd control standpoint, what they decided to do was have the Hyatt hotels tend to run anything called dark channels, which sounds awesome and really isn't. It's just a channel that they're not using in their TV lineup. And usually a convention comes in and makes like a loop DVD that just runs ads and like, you know, really kind of typically boring crap. Or you have one that is local programming. So it's ads for the hotel restaurant and some businesses that are nearby. What we do is we take the DVD player out and run a live feed into that, and it was just being used for the Masquerade. So we did all this cabling and hookup and everything so that for 3 hours of the convention, we could plug in the output of a single camera and run that into all the hotel rooms. And then we got in the habit of videotaping the Masquerade and then replaying it. Then we would videotape the Dawn contest, which was a PG-13 contest, and replay it hours after all the little ones had gone to bed. And after a while, we realized that this is basically nerds recognize when there is wasted bandwidth. And Patrick and I were like, this is really a crap ton of wasted bandwidth. So we started trying to think of ways to use this channel that we had access to and run information. And we tried like bulletin board kind of system that had a schedule, but you know how the schedule goes at DragonCon.
So
that would be out of date the minute we plugged it in. And then we just started like, we would show up at midnight and run movies. Like we ran Spaceballs one night. But one, that's kind of illegal the way that we were doing it. So let's not do that anymore. And two, we didn't get the right remote for the DVD player. So we had the languages set up weird, and we showed Spaceballs in French with English subtitles.
But that's awesome.
Which was actually hilarious. That was a great mistake. So then we started setting up playing. We at this time, we're still doing the DragonCon TV content. And people would give us fan films and stuff. And so we ended up with like a repeating playlist of stuff that we could just play whenever we weren't running the Masquerade. This has now evolved into a fiber optic driven network for all five of the hotels that has a professional system called the Playbox that one of our volunteers basically brings to the convention for 4 days. And we can run live events from the Centennial Ballroom. So if you have a big event like Friday morning of the convention, True Blood panel is going to be the 10 o'clock panel. So you can sit in your hotel room and watch the cast of True Blood at 10 in the morning, which is kind of cool. In past years, it's been William Shatner. It's been John Barrowman. Guess that you might have trouble getting in to see the first day because the Shatner thing was a pretty big line. So that ends up being like a resource that helps us, you know, it kind of helps the people coming to the con because we can show panels that they wouldn't be able to get into because of line restrictions, or if there's a popular panel on one side of the con, we might replay it the next day so that you don't miss it. We can do live events. We can do a broadcast of costume contests. And then we run all of the stuff that fans contribute or that our group has been building up over the past decade.
Well, and I think it's great, too, because for some people, it's like, you know what? I'm okay just sitting here in my jammies watching that first 10 o'clock panel. I'm okay with that.
Well, that's actually where we're getting to the third part of it, which is we use it now as an information source.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think, is pretty hilarious, that it's turned into – it's kind of come back around to the thing we thought we could do with it at first. So Patrick Freeman and I have tried to do these, like, bulletin board system things. And this is, like, in 2003, 2004. So this sort of system is, like, a Linux box with some web software on it that I've hacked up to try to look like something that I should have been spending money on and wasn't. And keeping it updated was manual intervention. Now we have an app for the convention, so we don't kind of need to do that on a TV basis. But people still look at this thing as, I will watch this sometime during the convention. And so 4 years ago, I think, we started doing basically a morning show. It's a 30-minute, and I'm a podcaster, so I can air quote without using my hands. I will now demonstrate. This is a news program hosted by myself, Stephen Grenade, and Allie Pelfrey, called the DragonCon Late Show, because let's be honest, Lee, if you're up at 9 o'clock in the morning at DragonCon, it's because you're up late from the night before.
See, now, some of us actually do sleep.
Yes, I am one of those few people, because I have to be on camera. And it was kind of my idea. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I actually do sleep, but yes, many of the attendees, yes, 9 a.m. is really the late.
Fact is, the people that are watching it are still up from the night before.
Yes.
And so we replay that later, and now that actually goes up on YouTube as well. But that's, we still go with this information dissemination kind of thing that you can pop on the TV while you're probably putting on one of the three costumes you're going to wear today. And we will be reading parts of the Daily Dragon to you and talking about what our big programming events are for the day and our tips for the day. And, you know, we actually did, now that we're on the YouTubes with all the kids and their cat videos, we always now do an episode zero, which is basically our preview for Dragon Con. And so we talk about changes in convention policy and new, like the America's Mart being added for the dealer's room. So we talk about that on episode zero. And since it's YouTube, you can click on things now and go to places that actually have information, as opposed to, you know, looking at us where we're just reading off our iPhones.
Yeah. Cool. And is that up now, by the way?
Yeah, episode zero is now up. We use Video Dragon Con for the official convention videos. And that is actually, if you have the DragonCon app and you see the official, I think it says official DragonCon videos in the app as well.
Right.
If you click on that, it takes you to a listing of the YouTube channel. But if you like the YouTube app on your phone better, then you can just subscribe to Video DragonCon, all one word, because it's an internet username. And that will, if you subscribe to that, then you'll get notified when we post those episodes. And also, something we're doing now for the first time ever at Con with the videography staff, if we interview a guest at the convention on Friday, we're going to try to post those the same day, meaning that if we interview a guest Friday morning, that Friday afternoon, that interview is going to go live on YouTube. And so you'll be able to see things that are exclusive to DragonCon that, you know, it's like a good little 5 or 10 minute conversation you may not get out of the panel. Or might be a guest who's, you're not able to make it to their panel, but you do get this kind of sit-down interview with either me or Crispy on the videography staff.
Cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, that takes quite a bit of mechanics in the background, and I could not do that by myself. So there's a huge videography now is like a 25 person operation at Dragon Con. And they're the people that if you go into a room and you see somebody operating, like legitimately operating a camera, not that idiot with his iPhone is holding it the wrong way to take video.
Oh, dear God. Just tell everyone now. Sideways.
So when you're on the YouTubes, also look up.
Oh, and John. Well, hold on. John.
Yes.
Record.
Oh, sure.
Is the red button.
Hey.
And also don't delete it.
So Brian was going to finish something. Go on.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You
can assault
Brian.
Him in your free time. But, yeah, if you go on YouTube, there's a puppet-based podcast called Glove and Boots.
Okay.
And they do a informational video known as Vertical Video Syndrome, which is basically their explanation of how the world ends if you don't turn your phone the right way to take video.
I do need to check that out.
I need to show it to my wife. 5 minutes of your time. I highly recommend it.
I am constantly telling her, sideways.
Yes. your eyes see this way, not this way. I'm making hand motions that are useless in podcast form, but you can kind of get the idea.
John,
wait, I know you wanted to say something else, Lee, but
okay,
not up and down,
sorry.
Left to right. What? Huh? What?
So anyway, yeah. So our little pile of non yellow and blue minions are running around, basically seeing as much of the convention as possible, recording it, and trying to show it to convention goers so that, you know, the thing about DragonCon is it is essentially like running 20 conventions under one virtual roof. You're gonna miss something. So we try to minimize the number of things
really?
That you probably miss by, you know, if you have a room, you should go back to it every once in a while. You should change costumes. You should rest. You should get a snack.
God knows you're paying enough for those rooms. Well, actually, with
God knows.
I guess when you divide it up by 12, it really isn't that much.
Yeah, you know, once you figure out how many people are sleeping on your floor and you realize that you're running a row house or a youth hostel, you know, out of the fourth floor of the Hilton, it's still kind of expensive.
And I actually keep wondering if anybody's ever built like a loft in one of those rooms just for the weekend.
Oh, somebody
we
has.
Have enough people that probably could do that.
I'm sure this is basically the hotel version of Rule 34 that you've just invoked, where someone is now like just now getting in their car with this podcast on, listening as they go to the Home Depot. So I don't know if it's suspicious if you walk into the Westin with like, you know, a stack of lumber and a drill, you know.
Well, at Dragon Con, I don't think that it is, to be honest with you.
Actually, not really.
You could be like, we're going to play Jenga in the lobby later, and they'd be like, oh, good for you, you know.
Good for you. Enjoy that. Let us tape it. We want to watch.
It's full-scale Jenga. Good for you.
Awesome.
Actually, the Westin would be probably the worst one to do it in because they have that kind of curved thing going on the outside. So there's no square part of the room. So doing a loft in there there'd be angles involved. I don't know how rapidly you'd put that together. Just saying from an engineering standpoint.
Not saying, just saying.
So
it might be a little difficult.
So what do you guys have planned for this year that you can tell us about?
Oh, mine is an evil laugh. Okay, so you may have noticed that over the years, one of the things we like to do, I mean, most of our content is the bumpers. A majority of it is, because that stuff's easy. It doesn't require any acting. It requires Photoshop.
Photoshop.
And we do, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, we shoot funny stuff in front of a green screen. And we got some new actors and some new bits that have come in this year as well. Less green screen, actually, in some of them. But one tradition we started with Stephen Grenade, who is a big Jonathan Coulton fan, is making music videos. And we started out by doing live-action versions of videos for Jonathan Coulton songs. So we've done a few of those. We did Code Monkey, and we did Rear Brains, which is still one of the more popular things we've done. Most of Rear Brains is shot at my house. So the truck that I'm screaming and getting into to get away from the zombies, my house at my barn, my truck. The window that the zombies are coming through is in my basement. The green screen that they're all sitting in front of to make it look like they're in a mall is also in my basement. So we wanted to do another music video that was A, bigger production, B, not shot in my basement, and C, it's also not shot in my basement, but D is goes back to kind of the core of what DragonCon is. You remember the history of DragonCon. What was it its first year?
It was a comic convention,
wasn't
it?
Small?
Good. Tiny?
A small comic book convention.
Yeah.
Small?
Always been complaints that it doesn't stay true to that set of roots. That, you know, it's now media. It's big stars with big egos.
What?
Old TV shows.
Are they sure they're not confusing that with something out in the West Coast?
We're making fun of them, too.
Oh.
But
of course.
But what we're doing is actually we are – our music video this year, and I'm not going to tell you everything about it because we're really doing this as a premiere. So Saturday, DragonCon does a contest called From the Page to the Stage, which is a comic book-themed contest. It replaced the old Dawn look-alike contest and contest from years past. So it's a little bit more adult. It's more of a male-female beefcake kind of show because, you know, when you get supercharged people in tights, that tends to bring out – rippling muscles and other rippling body parts, one would hope.
Well, so, I certainly do. Oh, wait.
We recognize the entire theme is trying to go back as a callback to the comic book origin of the convention. So we've been also now doing more, like, I've written a couple of music parodies that have ended up being made into videos. I think 3 years ago we did I'm on a Blimp, which is a steampunk version of I'm on a Boat from Saturday Night Live.
Nice.
Had a lot of fun doing that. And just keep in mind, I wrote a parody of a song that was a parody of rap. So that's meta, almost the definition of it. And then last year, Tommy Bird and his friend Dina put out a video called Last Dragon Con, which is a great parody of Last Friday Night.
Yeah, I saw that. It's awesome.
Saw that. Yes, very cool.
All right. So we have now put all of our collective brain together, and Saturday Night, the intro for Page to Stage is going to be our comic book themed music video.
Nice, nice.
And I'm severely proud of this video. It's a big deal. We put a lot of time into it. We've got a comic book shop, Titan Comics up in Smyrna, to loan us their store for basically 3 nights to shoot in. So it's all location shot at Titan. And they were like, they just let us have the run of the store. Like, even they let us, for certain shots, take comic books out of the bags.
What?
I'm like, are you sure? Because someone's going to see that on camera and will be killed. They're like, no, it's cool. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, we're all nervous. Like, I've taken the little tape. I've broken the seal. I'm holding with my hands. What do I do? So I think that's going to be really fun. We had a lot of fun shooting that. We're making fun of Star Trek Into Darkness because it kind of deserves it. Nerd rage start. But I think that that's all going to be a lot of fun.
Cool. So if people don't get to actually see the video live when it goes out, is it going to be replayed on DragonCon TV?
Yeah, it'll be replayed on DragonCon TV. And also, once it premieres, like, we do an early release. That makes it sound like a prison program. We actually let...
It sort of is, though, really.
So, it is, I think, somewhere around August 24th is when I'm going to start putting up the first DragonCon TV videos for this season.
Oh, okay.
And then once we show the comic book video Saturday, it will go live Saturday on YouTube as well.
Oh, great, great. But it won't be in the... it won't be in the DragonCon... video. It'll be in DCTV.
It'll be on DragonCon TV. We keep those two separate for right now. So Video DragonCon is things
Video
like
DragonCon, yeah.
The official convention highlights, you know, clips that I cut out of the costume contests, interviews with guests, commercials, promo video kind of stuff.
Right.
DragonCon TV has been more of the comedy thing, and they've sort of been evolving towards each other. I don't know how that's going to work in the future, but for right now, they're two separate channels to sort of avoid that confusion.
And because you do, you know, you do all of this, you get paid tons of money, right?
I'm rolling in all that Monopoly money. I tell you what, just gold press left everywhere. It is just, yeah, no, I'm, this is the thing about what we do for DragonCon. And I know that, you know, there's been a lot of stuff in the news about financial transactions for the people that own and have shares in the convention and whatever. One, I've seen some of those people. I've seen what they drive. They're not rolling in it either.
No.
Okay.
Not
I mean, I'm gonna Pat Henry, who I've known for many years now, is one of the few people I know that owns and likes the Pontiac Aztec. I just want to soak that in, because if you don't know what a Pontiac Aztec is, you're a lucky automobile person.
Look it up.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you've missed nothing.
The Aztec looks like what would happen if Michael Bay was making a vehicle for a Transformers movie, but he had the budget from Sharknado.
Now, see, you're going to make him break. You're going to make him cough more.
Fine. See? He can edit all that out. That's what he does.
Oh, yeah, like he edits. He doesn't
do
that.
Tons of editing.
Whatever. Okay.
Yeah,
so
anyway, so these are not like insanely rich people. Conventions, at some point, have to at least bring in enough cash so they can have the convention the next year. And I know people who have run cons who have gone broke the first year and continued running the convention just to get the business to break even so they could close it without taking a tax loss. It's not – you don't go into running a convention to be rolling in the fat stacks of money. So what a convention really runs on is volunteers, and it's a community thing. And what everybody brings to it is just sort of they want to put on a show, and they're enthusiastic, and they're fans. And if these people didn't love what they did, they wouldn't be doing this as their part-time job. These people, like, I have a real job. I have to travel the world to promote a computer company, a fairly recognizable one. It's not like I take time. Like, I have to take, like, vacation and not spend a week of vacation on something else, like going to Spain and all the airline miles I have. I'm spending that week of vacation coming, you know, 20 miles from my house to run basically a trade show I don't get paid for.
Right.
And you know, yes, I will, you know, oh, look, I made a video with cameras that I bought or stuff that I rented, and all the people that are in it aren't getting paid, and some of them I barely even had a chance to feed, and they brought their own costumes that they made with their own money. It is not a money-making endeavor. It's a thing that you spend money on because you appreciate it, but I don't, like, none of the DragonCon TV videos, anything on DragonCon TV's YouTube channel, there's no advertising turned on. I don't want to get into the nonsense of we made this video. Like, if I want to make video off money off a video, I'll charge by the hour, or I'll start a Kickstarter. You know, and if I don't, I'll throw it up on my little ha-ha very funny music channel or video channel and know that I'm not going to make any cash out of it, but I had a lot of fun making it. And it's a thing that you show off. Like, everybody who brings a costume to run around in the lobby or knits a sweater for a friend or macrames or whatever it is you do that's kind of your passion. Ours is just happens to be putting on a show for, you know, twice the number of people in the hometown I grew up in.
Excuse me. So about how many hours a year do you think you put into DCT?
If I actually had a number for that and showed it to people, I'd probably be divorced because my wife would go, oh, yeah, I knew it was a lot, but holy crap, really? So it's a good thing to help out with this.
Yeah.
I don't even really know because sometimes it's like the comic book video, you know, there's just shooting it is three full nights, you know, at somebody else's store. So let's call that 15 hours.
And that's probably only a quarter of the time that you got to put
in. That doesn't cover any of the time we spent writing it, any time we spent workshopping, any the lyrics, any time we spent recording the lyrics. It took 8 or 9 hours to get all the lyrics tracks down. I don't know how much time Tommy spent doing the music. I really don't want to know how much time he spent editing the thing or color grading. I mean, it's a color corrected shot off of a Canon camera with a proper lens. Like, it's a real thing. It's not one of these things I hack together in my basement. Even those I could probably spend, you know, 30 or 40 hours making a 1 minute commercial spoof because I've got to reshoot something or I did a horrible key off the green screen and I'm sitting on a plane, you know, with my work laptop trying to tweak a green screen somewhere over, you know, Nevada.
Yeah, it's always fun when you're trying to, like, meet a deadline or look at what you're doing on, you know, on a plane, you know, and you're like, oh, my God, yeah, that's always fun because I've had to do that. I've had to actually finalize things while on a plane between places, and you're like, that's just never, ever fun. No. And I can't imagine doing what you're doing on a green screen or tweaking all of your videos. It's like, oh, my God.
So I know
I work for a computer company because my laptop doesn't suck. So,
well, that's good. That does help. That does help.
Oh, what kind of laptop are you running these days?
For my work purposes, I'm running a Intel Core i5 third generation processor on an HP laptop, which is like solid state drive. And I really need to get the Ultrabook kind of thing.
Right.
It's embarrassing that I actually don't have an Ultrabook because if I did any of the stuff I do on an Ultrabook, it's a TV commercial. But if I do it on my business issue laptop from last year, it's just, you know, Brian getting paid on a Saturday. So I've talked to my marketing department about that. But I mean, and that's just the laptop. That's not the other laptop or the giant video editing rig I have. I have like 9 terabytes of storage in my home computer.
Nice.
And then got the external drives and stuff. That's my video editing rig.
And I assume you, being a computer guy, as you are, I assume there's also backups involved there as well.
I have those little, you know, things at IKEA that kind of look like very fancy Swedish milk crates.
Right.
I've got one of those that is filled with USB external hard drives.
Ah, I see how you're doing that. Yeah.
I have two hard drives I keep in a fire safe. I have a NAS on my home network. I have all the drives I took out of the machine when I upgraded the NAS or upgraded the RAID so I could build another RAID. It's a frightening amount of storage in one central location. And then the cloud. I'm making a hand motion. The cloud has a bunch of stuff in it as well. So.
Now, you're incredibly busy, obviously, during the con, but if there's a chance for you to get to see something... Now, I guess, in fairness, you probably get to see more than most people do, most directors.
In some respects, yeah. In some respects, no, because my staff is encouraged to go see as much of the convention as possible with a camera. I get to see a lot of really cool things. I'm not going to lie. One of the better things about doing this is that I do get some amount of access to scenes or setups or people that I wouldn't get just as a fan off the street. Trying not to abuse that, as Lee will tell you, is really hard.
It is sometimes.
Because, one of the things I do is I interview guests. And so I'm trying to have this like conversation experience with them that isn't part of the panels. And the really hard things are acting like the professional interviewer when you want to squee and fanboy because you're meeting Walter Koenig. Right. And Walter Koenig wants to have a conversation with you about a book or about a play or about the difference between voice acting and doing normal acting. You're meeting Gary Chalk, who was the voice of Optimus Prime on Transformers in the 80s. And so this guy's talking, and all you're hearing is your childhood. you get Chris Gore at a table for an hour who's telling you about independent film. You get the guys from the Guild who are complimenting you on the stuff you're putting on your crappy television network that you set up on a shoestring budget inside of a hotel. And you're going, wait, these guys like what I do? I mean, the guy who played the mortician, Tony Todd, tall guy who was in like Candyman.
Yeah, right.
Final Destination films, who plays the guy, you know, it's like the ominous, well, you must be connected to death because who cares? We're just going to do Roadrunner cartoon for 90 minutes. He's a fan of DragonCon TV. And so it's like, well, basically, you're death, and you like my work. So this is, if I believe in the afterlife, this is good for me.
It works.
So there's a lot of that kind of stuff that I get to do that's really awesome. And then there are times where I come back, and they're like, oh, did you see that panel? And I'm like, well, probably not.
So, but
I mean, being the guy, actually, one of the coolest things I get to do with the entire convention, and I have stories of when I've screwed it up. So in the Masquerade, one of the traditions that I inherited when I took over video services was the Keeper of Duck Dodgers. So if you've been to the Masquerade during the halftime, one video must be played before the finalists are announced, and that's Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a Half Century, the classic Daffy Duck, Porky Pig cartoon. So when we started doing that, they're like, okay, and then they're telling me, like, this is the most important thing you can do at this board. You must play this video at this particular time. And we've screwed it up twice, and I almost died from both cases. One was when I didn't control the video content, because this is a crowd experience. This is interactive. Everybody knows the lines. It's like Rocky Horror, but shorter and not obscene and much better acting. So everybody shouts Duck Dodgers 24th and a Half Century, in like big unison. It's sort of a coming together. It's a beautiful thing. Except for the year where they gave me the sequel to that instead of the original on a VHS tape. And so I played the wrong version of the cartoon.
Oh, my.
And 1,800 people looked at me and wanted to kill me. And I'm like, I just hit the button. This guy gave me the tape. And the guy who gave me the tape is gone. Because he's like, oh, undescribable word. And he's just out. And...
Yeah.
The second time that happened is we had gone to DVDs, and I'm like, I have this DVD. It has just Duck Dodgers on it. It's mastered perfectly. I know where it is. I keep it with me like, handcuffed in a briefcase to my wrist. And I get it all set up. It's about 30 seconds in, and I reach down because at the time we're recording our backup copy of the show onto a DVD recorder. And so I go to eject and change to the second DVD because the whole show won't fit on one DVD. Those things are stacked in a rack. And I hit the eject button on the player by mistake. And this big Sony screen comes up and everything stops and 1,800 people look at me. And they start unpeace bonding their weapons. And I just sort of sheepishly look back, push the button, it goes back in. The player is smart enough, thank you, Sony, to pick up playing where it left off and continues, and 1,800 people put the zip ties back on their Nerf weapons and watch in unison. We have now gotten this down to a machine process where there's a Blu-ray. Now, we use a Blu-ray version of the cartoon, and it's mixed in with all of our other content. So there's like a magic button that plays the halftime, and everything is timed out perfectly, and it's mastered. And I have a conversation with the guy. I was like, I have to have Duck Dodger. He's like, I know. I don't want you to die. So, because then I'll have to do your job, and I don't want to do your job. I just want to make
the best. I've seen your job. I don't want your job.
I've seen it. I want to kill you. I want to be behind the scenes mastering.
I don't want to be on that job. No.
So we even made a bumper intro for Duck Dodgers, which is one of my favorite things in the world now, because we actually invoke Howard the Duck at least once a year now. Because that's the thing that has to happen. No, actually, we're going to make fun of Howard the Duck again this year, because interesting piece of trivia, and you'll find this out watching the bumpers, Howard the Duck is the first Marvel comic movie ever made.
Really?
I'm going to say that again, because you probably didn't believe me. Howard the Duck is the first Marvel franchise made into a movie.
No.
Really?
Yes, it is.
There's actually a Howard the Duck reference in the latest Phineas and Ferb, the Marvel.
Howard the Duck is the first Avenger.
No, stop. No. Don't.
You just imagine Howard the Duck flying the giant, you know, ship into the ocean being unfrozen in 2000.
No.
Sam Jackson comes out.
What this guy?
I'm seeing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Coulson
Agents
trying to
Howard.
Recruit him, and oh my god, that hurts my head.
Motherfracking Duck and my motherfracking franchise.
Well, the question I was trying to ask you earlier, which is, if you can get to see something this year, what would you like to
what
see?
What are you hoping to go see?
Well, what I'm hoping to see is never going to happen, which is William Shatner and George Takei doing a panel together.
I know.
Or hugging.
Like I said. So, what I'm probably going to want to see, I would love to see the Mythbusters panel. They're only doing like one big panel this year.
Yeah.
Over in the Sheraton, or is it in the atrium? I think it's in the atrium, in the Marriott.
I think it's in the atrium, yeah.
Blowing up stuff for science.
Right.
Because Adam Savage's panels, I got to meet Adam Savage. Squee! Meet Adam Savage, interview him. It's recorded on the internet. I didn't make a complete fool of myself, but I did edit the video heavily, so maybe I did in the stuff I threw away. He is one of the best, like, solo panelists I think I've seen at DragonCon. The way he interacts with the audience, the way he tells stories, the way he keeps the fans involved, is just really – and his passion for what he does comes through very evidently when he's doing those panels. And so seeing him and Jamie together in a show, I think, is going to be pretty impressive.
I think that will be a packed room.
That'll be full. We'll be replaying that because it's not a room we can live broadcast from. So,
and if you're going to get in line, be sure to get in line right at the 1 hour mark.
Exactly.
Or kind of hover around thereabouts beforehand.
Hey!
Follow
the rules.
Not that you should.
An hour.
All right.
Follow the rules.
Yeah.
Or a little earlier.
Design.
Do not help. Follow the rules, Boutel. Follow the rules.
And certainly, yes, an hour. At least an hour beforehand. I mean, exactly an hour.
And smack you in the head. Do not taunt her.
Exactly an hour.
That was mean. I heard that part.
Oh, I just caught that.
I said I had to stand on the chair to hit you.
In the head.
Well,
oh, gee,
or the kneecap, one or the other.
Yeah.
Keep it up. That's all right.
Oh, boy. So I know we've asked you this before, and so I'm not going to ask you again this year, which is which three guests would you like to see at Dragon Con? So I'm going to ask you if you could, make a parody and, you know, have unlimited budget to make a parody of any sci-fi or cartoon or anything in the genre, whatever genre you want. What three things would you like to make parodies of?
Ooh, I'm not going to include the one that I'm actually planning with Garrett Wong because that's actually a thing we may do next year.
I have an idea of what that might be, but go on.
I have two now I want to do, actually, after one of the staff meetings. But it was an idea I already had, and it got snagged from the staff meeting. We can tell the staff meeting story later, because that was on Twitter. But I would really like to do more stuff with Doctor Who. I don't think that we make fun of that enough, and I think it is completely acceptable to parody, because it's very ridiculous. As David Tennant once says, you cannot explain Doctor Who without sounding like a complete madman. And he said that while he was still playing the Doctor. To do that well, because there's a lot of, like, there's guys who are doing a fan series called The Forgotten Doctor, and they've got a really good-looking TARDIS, and they've got, you know, some the right attitude and some of the right approach to doing it as a fan series. But they've done such a good job lately with upping the production value on Doctor Who that a lot of, like, making fun of Doctor Who before was making fun of sets that were falling down and robots made of discount plumbing supplies.
And when you would see the mic in the shot.
Yeah, so you've got to completely up your game now to make fun of Doctor Who. So I think we need, like, I would want a proper set, and I'd want the kind. Did you ever see, there's an old BBC Red Nose special, Rowan Atkinson played the Doctor. Doctor Who and the Curse of Fatal Death.
I've not seen that, no.
I don't think I've seen
that. Rowan Atkinson is the Doctor, and it is when Doctor Who was not on the air. And it is a complete send-up, including the last episode, where the Doctor dies and regenerates about 12 times.
Jeez.
And that sequence, they get all these cameos in, with these really, and Hugh Grant is the Doctor for, like, about a minute. And the companion is thrilled, because it's Hugh Grant. I get to go off in a ship with Hugh Grant. And then Hugh bumbles and trips and dies and turns into, like, you know, a fat British comedian. And it is that kind of thing to get the people and the set. I'd like to do more classic Trek. I'm a big fan of classic Star Trek. It is one of those things, that the reason I'm a geek is because my mom introduced me to Star Trek and Doctor Who. And the reason I need a budget is not to build the thing. I already have access to it with enough, you know, like, time to spend on it. But Vig Mignogna, who's doing The Masquerade as a host this year, is a producer for a web series called Star Trek Continues, which has one of the best fan sets I've ever seen. That and, like, the guys who do Star Trek Phase 2 up in Maryland, they've built recreations of the classic Enterprise in a warehouse. And they've got a bridge set and a transport set and a rec room. And it's like a combination of stuff they bought at auction from the original series and stuff they built. And it's fantastic. The way that Star Trek Phase 2 shoots their show, or especially the way Vic shoots Continues, you can't tell the difference in filming style between the original and what they're doing. And so access to that set means I have to stay down there for a week and get some hotel rooms and bring some people in that I want to be on stuff. But I would love to do a parody in an actual set that looks right.
Okay.
And the third, you know what I would really like to do? I've seen some people do this really well, and this is what actually takes more time and money, I think, is building your own world that's just a degree off of stuff that you like. You know, so you can mess with a couple of different universes at the same time, but you're just, you know, it's dialed off a little bit to the left. So it doesn't, you know what they're aping, but I'm not just going after Star Trek, right? I'm not just going after Star Wars.
I'm
kind of mixing those up. There's some guy, Mark Meer, boy, this is the name dropping episode of 50 Days, but.
yeah, it works.
And so Mark Meer is a voiceover artist and an actor in Canada. He does Commander Shepard's voice for Mass Effect. He's going to be a guest this year.
Yes.
He's in a comedy troupe called Caution, Make, and Take Nuts out of Canada, and they've been giving DragonCon TV stuff for a couple of years. And they have this sort of, you know, they have TV money. Okay, it's Canadian TV money. So it's not great, but it's TV money.
They have
kind of a fake Star Wars, Star Trek-ish world where they have, like, an inept, bumbling commander and a Spock-like character and this set that almost looks like the Enterprise but isn't quite. And they do takeoffs on airport security, and they do a great episode where the Jedi break into their ship, but they're basically being portrayed as Mormons knocking on the door selling a religion. So they're trying to pass off the Force like they're two missionaries. The stuff is great, and it's really short. Like, you know, it's skit comedy for TV, so it's like 1 minute, 2 minute bits. And they, but they have recurring characters in a world. And I think that, honestly, I'd like to do something that I could just pile on everybody in this one environment. No holds barred. Take no prisoners.
That would be awesome. So really, the ideal is that you would be able to quit your job, get paid for all this, and have your own studio.
Yes. I'm glad you summed up all of my rambling into one concise point. Thank you very much.
That was good.
No,
good,
so
John.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what I don't get paid for. All right, so cool. So where can folks find out more information? Now, of course, you also have a podcast that you seem to be able to do about once a month.
Yeah, it's basically like Radioactive Half-Life, where we're decaying out as we continue podcasting. So we've been podcasting for 7 years, but that's like, you know, logarithmically adjusted. So I do What the Cast with a couple of guys who were writers on DragonCon TV. So Patrick Jarrett, who lives in Seattle now, Dr. Stephen Grenade, who's a DragonCon guest on the Science Track, and also does another podcast of his own and more science. And he's also busy. And Chris Lloyd, who is a partner in crime doing interviews at DragonCon. And it's a nerd culture, talk about whatever we want, kind of excuse for me to talk to three of my friends on a semi-regular basis. We do a live podcast at DragonCon Sunday at 10. And then we can be found at whatthecast.com. So, because we're on the internet because it's a podcast, and that's the only way you can do that, apparently.
So, whatthecast.com.
DragonCon TV is DragonConTV.com or DragonCon TV on YouTube. And we also have the Twitter and the Facebook and Google Plus, which apparently nobody really respects. But I'm actually tempted to do a Google Plus Hangout just so I can actually show off some of the early videos and taunt people who are only using Twitter and Facebook.
There you go.
Now,
hey, I have a circle.
I too make fun of. excuse me. As I mentioned earlier, I'm sick. I too make fun of Google Plus, but actually, I kind of like it more than.
Oh yeah. Because you just take all your MySpace jokes and you sort of sand off the edges and.
But the reality is that it's actually pretty good.
It's quite good. George Takei has not quite taken it over yet, so it's still up for grabs, people. It's still up for grabs.
I did notice that he does do a lot of stuff on him and Felicia Day.
Oh, Felicia Day, as far as I can... I think Felicia Day and George Takei are on this like turf battle for the internet, and I think that in the internet divorce, Felicia's going to get Google+, and Takei is going to get Facebook, and I think Twitter... it's probably just going to be left to Patton Oswalt, kind of like, you know, his inheritance or something. He seems to be ruling that world, as long as you like profanity.
And really, who... Well, okay, there are some people.
Okay, who doesn't? Well, the FCC, apparently.
All right.
There are
so,
a couple, but there are very few.
So, whatthecast.com, DragonConTV.com?
Com.
Is there also .org on that one, too?
If there is, I haven't bought it yet. Don't go... I got to go look under go look it up. Thanks.
Well, technically, you still got to file... You know, you got to be an org, and you got to prove that you're an org. Although, no one ever does.
I don't
make
money, but I can't prove I'm non-profit. One is a lifestyle, the other is a tax status.
And, of course, you can check out DragonCon TV on the YouTubes and subscribe over there on YouTube. So, Brian, thanks again for joining us. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you taking time out, and I know that you got more videos to go take care of and make sure they're all running fine.
Yeah.
And put together. How put together for the show are you at this point? What percentage-wise would you say you're ready?
Well, except for one video, all the DragonCon TV editing is done, and okay. That's been farmed out to our good friend Jonathan Deitch, who makes all of the DVDs to run in the rooms. So if you're in a panel room and you see this thing and it looks like it's tightly edited and perfectly timed for the gap in between events, that's Jonathan's thing. If we're looking at like the master control that does all of the things for taking the signals from the rooms and putting them back out to the hotel TVs, that's been redesigned this year, but it's actually been tested because we learned from experience. And that is pretty much done. The staff kind of thing, we have to make up some schedules. Because we don't get the official con schedule 2 weeks before the convention, and then we have to turn that into working hours for 25 people. And then kind of the least together thing, I think, is the total playlist for what we do on the automated system between events. Like if you're not watching a live event on DragonCon TV or a rebroadcast event, you're probably looking at something out of our Playbox system. That is a mix of stuff we built and also things that we like, fan films and music videos from the guests. That list is less together than I'd like, because we got some late submissions, and I actually watch all of this stuff before I say yes or no at going on the channel.
Okay.
So if there was a buck we made, it would be stopping with me, but there isn't, but it still does.
So you'd say you're about 98% ready then?
Sure, using your crazy math. Yeah, that sounds good.
So, or 10% ready. One or the other. Certainly somewhere in between there.
Somewhere between nothing and, oh, my hair is on fire. Somewhere in there, yeah.
All right. Well, Brian, thanks again. We look forward to seeing all the videos, and we look forward to actually seeing that new, now that you've hyped it, it better be good.
Yes. Music video. It does not suck. Take my word for it. You have to until Saturday.
That is true. So until next time, this is John for Brian and Lee, who's apparently dying as well.
Thanks a lot. You gave it to me. And mine are wrapped. I'm telling you, man. My ports are clean.
Oh, boy. Wrong podcast to be saying that. I wish I was someplace else.
I'm
right
firewalling
now.
This conversation from now on.
Until next time.
It's a good thing I'm using a Bluetooth headset, because I'm not physically connected to the computer, so it's harder for it to get to me.
Damn. That was my problem. I should have gotten my Bluetooth.
All right.
You should brush more.
Bye.
Bye, folks.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG, or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter, @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.